Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hand, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship him. Let us kneel and bow down before him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by his infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and Merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us,
The Word of God comes to us in the 18th chapter of Genesis. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known in him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Praise be to God." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We cannot know the secret and hidden will of God, but we can be sure that God directs and guides our lives and all of human history, all the history of the world, in the way that is best for us, his believers, and in the way that is best for the benefit of as many people as possible. Because we know that God is a gracious and loving God who wants all people to be saved. At the same time, we live in a sinful and corrupt world, and we ourselves are sinful and corrupt. Satan and the sinful world strive against God in every way possible. And even we the believers of God, are still sinners and too often stand in God's way, instead of being the children of God or showing ourselves to be the children of God by how we conduct our lives, serve God, and help our neighbor. We are easily led astray. God knows this. And he knew it would happen also to Abraham and his children. He knew that God's children are discouraged when we look around and see the corruption of the world. We're frustrated, we're saddened, we're frightened. So God determines here to tell Abraham what was going to happen, to tell him of a coming destruction, just as he had done with Noah centuries earlier. The context of our story is not a happy one. God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their terrible and flagrant sins. God does not want Abraham to think that there is no hope after this destruction comes. But he wants Abraham to be able to use this to teach his children. Just as we learn lessons from difficult times, the difficult times, for example, of the Civil War, of the Great Depression, other major events that our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents lived through, so we can also learn from these events in Scripture, Sodom and Gomorrah, the golden calf, the sins of King David. Even Abraham himself was weak at times and lied to protect himself. But God wants Abraham and Abraham's children, he wants all people to learn from these mistakes that we should trust in God and not in ourselves. God tells Abraham that he's going to destroy these wicked cities, and Abraham already shows himself to be a child of God, a child of the gracious and merciful God, almost bargaining with God for the cities. But God, what if there are 50 righteous people there? Then I will spare the city. What if there are 40? What if there are 30? What if there are 10 righteous people in the city? I will spare the city, God says. But sadly, there weren't, and God destroyed the city. And so the lesson had to be passed on to Abraham's children, the lesson of right and wrong, the lesson of God's commandments, thou shalt and thou shalt not, the lesson, the soul that sins, it shall die. But the lesson wasn't just about good and evil. It was about God's wrath, to be sure, but also about his promise to those who trust in him. Remember that Abraham was spared from the destruction, as was Lot, just as earlier Noah had been spared by the destruction that came in the flood. And here God says, I know Abraham. I have known him in order that he might command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. That was part of the lesson. Learn from other people's mistakes and from your own. Learn that God is righteous and punishes sin. Just as the conclusion of the commandment says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Therefore, we should learn from this and teach our children and our household as God wanted Abraham to do, that he might command his children that they keep the way of the Lord, that they do righteousness and justice. But God isn't essentially and isn't only a God of law and demand, a God of threat and punishment. The conclusion of the commandments in Exodus 20 right away goes on and says, I am the Lord your God who shows mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. In our text from Genesis, it says that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. This is the heart and core of all that God does, fulfilling his promises for us. Here we see God's true heart, one of mercy and forgiveness. For the scripture says, God wants all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Scripture says, God is love. That doesn't mean that God overlooks our sins or excuses them, makes excuses for them. He removes them from us, and he places them on his only begotten Son in our place, and he considers us then forgiven, sinless, and holy. God had promised to do this for Adam and Eve. He had promised to do it for Abraham and for all of us. To Abraham, he said, "In you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God chooses the word family here because God spreads his word first and foremost through families, through parents who bring up their children in the nurture and training, nurture and admonition of the Lord. Abraham was to raise his children with respect and regard for God's law and with faith and trust in God's promises. Ultimately, the second son of Adam would die for Adam's sin. The son of Abraham would bring blessing to the families of the earth, and the son of David would reign as God's eternal king. The son of Adam, who is Jesus. The son of Abraham, who is Jesus. The son of David, who is Jesus. Adam taught his son Seth. Noah taught his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Abraham taught Isaac, who taught Jacob and Esau. David taught Solomon. The story goes on. The results weren't always perfect, at least not right away. Even in these holy biblical families, they were still sinners who transgressed God's law one way or another. But God's lessons were pure and sure. We should fear and love God. We should love and trust in God because he first loved us and gave himself as the sacrifice for our sins. This is what God proclaims to Abraham. Learn from others' mistakes. Learn from your own mistakes. But especially learn my promises of pardon and forgiveness, that all the families in the earth shall be blessed in Christ, the Son of God. Our text says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Think of the lessons Abraham was able to teach his son Isaac. For years he and Sarah had waited for a son, and it didn't seem to happen. And after a while they came up with their own plan, and Ishmael was born to Abraham and Hagar. They had to tell Isaac, son, we were wrong. God's plan is always the right one. They could remind him that he was the miracle child of their old age, according to God's promise. Then, when Isaac was born and was growing up, God asked Abraham to sacrifice this one and only child. Can you imagine the heartbreak? But remember also the lesson that Abraham learned and could tell to Isaac again. God himself provides the lamb for the sacrifice. Because Abraham taught Isaac, Isaac taught Jacob, Jacob taught Judah and the others, by God's grace, we have the same saving gospel today. The promise that the son of Abraham would bring blessing for all the nations and all the families of the earth. The Lord did bring to Abraham and to us what he had spoken to him in Christ our Savior. May God continue to bring this saving message to all people, that many may come from the east and the west to sit at the feast of salvation, that wise men from all nations may seek and find salvation and hope and heaven in the Christ child, the Son of Abraham, the Son of God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.
As it stands. And also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you.